My name is Michal, and I'm going to talk about AYA and about what's new in Rust for eBPF. We were talking about AYA in previous editions of FOSDEM, so that's not going to be an introductory talk. It's quite the opposite. We will deep dive into what's new. But to people who don't know, AYA is a BPF library written purely in Rust, and it allows you to write both the user space part and eBPF part in Rust. Of course, mixing with other languages is also possible, like doing eBPF component in certain other language and still using AYA in the user space, or the other way around, but you can also do both in Rust. And the first question which you usually hear from people when we say that we do eBPF in Rust is why? Because the main selling point of Rust it's not so valid here, because eBPF is more safe because of a verifier. Well, my answer to that is usually that our choice of Rust and our like preference towards Rust is more about the developer experience rather than the memory safety. So we like Cargo, and many people who like are Rust developers day to day, like they like Cargo, they like using packages, they like all the tooling which is built around Cargo. And in AYA, it's similar. Like for example, when you start with AYA, we can start with Cargo generate scaffold the project. You can also use dependencies from crates.io. So actually, even in the eBPF part, you can use crates if they are small enough. And last but not least, like in Rust, there is option on result and pattern matching, and you can leverage this in the kernel space in BPF as well. A cargo generate is like a subcomment of cargo, which you need to install additionally, which generates projects from templates, and we have a template as well. So the best way to start with AYA, if you want to do it, is to do cargo generate AYA RS AYA template. And when you type this comment, it will prompt you, it will ask you some questions. It will ask you like what type of program you want to do, whether it's XDP, whether TC, whether LSM. It will ask you some follow-up questions specific to the program, and then it will generate something which should be like kind of a hello world for the given program type. So for XDP, it will show you a program which logs packets. For LSM, it will do some basic LSM hook for, I don't know, accepting the certain action. About crates, so I mentioned that crates, which use dependencies in eBPF part, need to be small enough. In Rust, there is a concept called NoSTD, which means no standard library, which means that you can use only like the smaller version of standard library called core, which has no operating system dependency, doesn't have allocations, doesn't have synchronization primitives, but otherwise it's still like a basic library which Rust provides you out of the box. One of the main crates, external crates, which you can use in the kernel space when you write programs is, in AYA is network types. It provides you the definitions of L2 and L3 networking headers. When you write BPF programs with libbpf, the way you go with generating network types is usually like getting them from VM Linux. So you use BPF tool to generate a C header file from BTF, and that includes the network types, and that works. But on the other hand, like network types don't really change; they are standardized. So we decided that we will ship it as a crate. And the big pro of this approach is that in kernel space, you can use the network types crate with like minimal set of features, but then in user space, you can do some more sophisticated packet parsing and serialization. We were presenting about AYA previous times as well, and the main points which changed since last time is, first of all, we have an integration test framework. And we are testing stuff for ARM, and we are also like testing unit tests in many other architectures. We ported all the infrastructure around AYA from using perf buffers to ring buffers, and that includes the logging part of AYA. So like the standard way of printing logs in AYA is using AYA log, and AYA log is using ring buffers to basically push the information from kernel space to user space. And then user space component is basically formatting those arguments and printing the outputs on your STD out by default. We added more map types, for example, SK storage. Task storage is coming very soon. We added flow dissector and iterator programs. We added support of entirety of Rust types in BTF, and I will dive into that, and I will dive exactly into the status of BTF support in AYA ecosystem. And we added also TCX links. Well, to give you some context, BTF is the type format, like the debug sort of type format, which is way smaller than Dwarf, and it's used in the BPF world to do relocations of kernel types across versions. So for example, if you built your BPF program with kernel 6.2 and you load it in kernel 6.12, the BTF relocations are basically a way of figuring out what's the offset of the field of the kernel struct you are accessing. BTF is generated in two ways. So for BPF programs, it's generated by the compiler. So if you build your BPF program, then LLVM is basically responsible for producing BTF. When you build the kernel, kernel is contains Dwarf debug information. So what happens on the kernel side is that there is a tool called Peho, which then transpiles Dwarf into BTF. For people who are not familiar with LLVM architecture, I mean, it's a very basic outline of it. LLVM is, you could say, a library for writing your own compilers, which provides you all the backends and allows you, provides all the infrastructure to build binaries for different architectures. And how you can use LLVM is to create your own programming language or like support some programming language while not worrying about the compiling the target code. And both Clang and Rust-C, like the default implementation of Rust-C, are using LLVM underneath. And then how LLVM works, frontends are supposed to generate immediate representation of LLVM, which is like a very minified, let's say, language, which then inside LLVM is being optimized first and then compiled to the machine code. And when you have simple Rust code like this, LLVM, when it's compiled to LLVM IR, LLVM has this representation of debug info, which is like very similar to Dwarf. It already has Dwarf tags. It's not technically Dwarf yet, but it's like one step before having a Dwarf, and it has a lot of information. Basically, for every structure you are using and for like all the details of your code, it has information like including also the which part of file in which part of file that code is. But BTF is minified. BTF doesn't need everything from that. So like from this debug info, translating it to Dwarf would be like basically translating it one to one, and then BTF we kind of minify it just to have enough information to make relocations and offsets. And BTF relocations live in an ELF header, and LLVM produces them using the intrinsics. And all the language frontends in LLVM which support BTF are supposed to use those intrinsics to define the access to the fields for the structs in which we want to support BTF relocations. And in LLVM, there is a concept of get element PTR instruction, which is basically accessing the fields of structs or enums or arrays. And what should happen in the compiler frontends, which want to leverage BTF relocations, is to detect getElement PTR calls which are concerning the structs related to the kernel, and then kind of wrap them in those intrinsics. And in Clang is achieved by defining this preserve access index attribute to the struct, which for which we want relocations. So for example, like the task struct is very common. It's struct in the kernel which represents the tasks, the processes. To make this example very short, I'm just outlining the PID of this process. And when you write the code where you access or return the PID field, and you have this preserve access index attribute, you have this BTF, and let's assume that in the kernel where you are compiling this program, PID is the 96 field, and it has offset of those like 21,000 bits. What you end up with in BPF assembly is, you know, having a pointer of this task and then adding offset of certain amount of bytes. Like this amount of bytes is like this corresponds to this amount of bits. And yeah, that's how it ends up in the assembly. But at the same time, because we added this preserve access index, in the ELF section of BTF relocations, BTFX, you have this information that for task struct and access and so the field PID in the assembly line 5, like NSS offset like refers to the number of line in the assembly code of your program. Like you, and this is the information that the loader of the BPF program needs to do a relocation there and make sure to check out what's the offset of PID field in the kernel to which the program is being loaded. And eBPF loaders like IR or eBPF are responsible for doing those relocations. So relocations are not done in the kernel. They are done by the user space loader, which is about to load the program. And both IR and eBPF are able to do it. So basically, when you load the program and you have the relocation, it will also like alongside load the BTF from the kernel and will fix up your bytecode. So for example, in this case, again, your program has different offsets and the kernel has different offsets. For example, in the kernel, like there is one more field added before in the task struct and like the offset is like a bit forward. The BPF loader is supposed to do this patching, and IA does this currently. But the missing piece in Rust is emitting the relocations. So IA is capable of doing relocations when they are there. So if you load a BPF program written in C compiled with Clang and load it with IA, IA is able to do relocations. The missing piece which we are working on is adding the relocation support in the Rust compiler. And our idea is basically like to do something very similar as you have in Clang, to add this preserve access index attribute to the types, and then the magic would happen of generating the relocations. And to sum it up, so like the BTF support in IA, you know, 1 year, 2 years ago, it would be mostly red. But nowadays, like the first thing is that when you have Rust code and all the Rust types can be converted into a correct BTF information by LLVM, IA is able to do the relocations. And very soon, already on master, we have like full compatibility with BTF in the map BTF map definitions. The last missing piece is the compiler support in Rust for emitting the relocations. Actually, like last year, we did quite a bit of work about the first point. We had to do some work in LLVM to support all the Rust types. We had to basically do two things. We needed to add the support for variant parts, and if you don't know what is it, I will explain in the next slide. And we also had to strip names of pointer types in debug info. So basically, like the small difference between C and Rust is that C by default, if you have a pointer type, like for example, start const task struct, it's not gonna generate a name for it in debug info. Rust would do it, and then kernel and verifier and all the BPF infrastructure kind of relies on pointer types like not having a name. So we had to do a little fix up there. Variant part was the most crucial work we had to do in LLVM in order to support, generation of really entirety of Rust types in BTF. And variant part is kind of like union in C, but it has a discriminant at the very beginning. And for example, like in C, the union, union is a segment of memory which can carry like different variants, and like usually like it would take the amount of memory of the biggest variant. And for example, like you can have this union has two variants. It has the struct with two integer fields or has just one integer. So like by default, this union, like regardless of which variant it carries, would have like enough space for this like upper struct. And in Rust, like a very similar thing to C, unions are enums. And like they look the same in the code, but the crucial difference is that in C, like the unions, they don't have the discriminator. And the most of C developers kind of work it around, because like normally if you just have union by itself, if you do a mistake and you do an assumption that it's a variant B and it's variant A, like you are kind of in trouble, it's undefined behavior. Of course, like the most of C developers would like embed this union into some struct and have a field indicating which variant it is, or have some like integer outside, or like write the code in a way that like they are really sure that in the certain part of code, the certain variant like is always going to be there. But in Rust, the enums, like they have this discriminant just for like extra safety. At the beginning, like when we started the work on BTF, and we weren't aware of, the BPF backend in LLVM not supporting variant parts. If you had this kind of enum in Rust and you try to compile it to eBPF target with debug info, LLVM was just crashing. Like it just like it was panicking, didn't know what to do with variant part. After adding support to it, there was a lot of discussion how to represent this thing. Like one idea was to like represent it as a struct with the discriminator field, and then second field, which would be the actual, which would be represented as union. What we ended up doing is that we just represent the whole thing as union, and the first field is a discriminant, and then we represent the variants later on. To sum it up, our future plans and ideas, like in general, first of all, yes, doing the BTF allocations Rust compiler, it's really the last piece missing to have a full Cori support with full everything written in Rust in AYA projects. Second thing which we want to do, so for now, currently, AYA has its own custom linker using LLVM as a library, which is called BPF linker, and it operates on LLVM bitcode. We would like to eventually like stop relying only on BPF linker and like align more with upstream and allow to link it with binutils or also LLD if possible. But we would like to start with binutils because binutils already has BTF support, BPF target support. And then also the idea, which like is very widely discussed, and already there is like a first draft PR, is having support for structops and SCADEX. AYA is adopted by different projects and different companies. I'll outline just the new ones. So one of the heavy users of AYA, for whom I work actually, it's Anza. Anza is a blockchain company which works on Solana, if you know it. And basically Anza develops Agave, the main Solana validator implementation. We care there about performance a lot, and in distributed system, like it's very important that all the nodes communicate with each other very fast. So we use AFXDP for that. And we already started developing Agave XDP library, purely in Rust, for using AFXDP. It's not mature enough to move it to IA yet, but that's the long-term plan. A new recent user of IA is the man in the middle proxy, or MITM proxy, MITM proxy. They started using IA, not everywhere yet, but they have certain modes, including WireGuard and local redirect, where they offload some parts to BPF and they write everything in IA for that. I'm done here, and thank you for listening. And it's time for questions.
Hey there. Hey. So my question would be, in the description it is said that you are now a tier 2 Rust package and you are going to go to tier 1, so what's missing to be there?
Actually, it's a bit worse than you described, so we are in tier 3 and we are trying to go into tier 2. We are in touch with the Rust team about that. There are two requirements from them which we need to meet to move up to this tier. Actually, I mentioned that we want to support binutils and other upstream linkers. That's one of the requirements. The Rust team is not really happy with us having completely custom linker made just for one architecture. And the second thing is, BPF's calling convention allows only having 5 arguments per function. And if you define a function with more arguments than that, it's not supported. Rust team is also not happy with that, so that's we'll need to address that and find some solution for it. Those two things.
So I wanted to just say I work in the Rust compiler team, so if you want to talk about this afterwards, maybe can make some progress there. And you had a question as well.
Yes.
Yeah, you mentioned in the enum that you're emitting the discriminant in the debug info. How does this work with niche optimization?
With niche optimizations.
This is when a Rust enum gets optimized away, the discriminant gets optimized away because the first variant, for example, is none, and the second is sum of non-null pointer, which means that you don't need a discriminant to actually determine the variant. So there isn't a discriminant in memory.
Okay, so honestly for that, and does this optimization also affect the debug info? Is the debug info fixed up as well? Then it should be fine, because what we do at the end is that at the very end, after all passes are done, we basically transpile the LLVM debug info into BTF. So if the optimizing away the discriminator already happens through passes, then we are safe.
And so you can translate arbitrary debug info at this point.
Exactly. Okay. So if the debug info doesn't have discriminator, it will not end up in BTF.
Any other questions?
Yes.
A stupid one. Why are you transitioning to ring buffers?
They are faster than perf buffers.
And it's synchronization hotspot kind of.
Perf buffers are an older type of a map in BPF. But don't get me wrong, perf buffers support in general is not going away. If you want to write your own program which uses perf buffers, it's still possible. We just switched over the core components of IA to use ring buffer rather than perf buffers. And it's mostly for logging. So to give you some context, in the main way of logging and having messages from kernel space to user space in libbpf is using BPF printk, so it basically prints messages to the tracefs. In our case, we decided first to push the logs through perf buffers, and we migrated that to ring buffers. But perf buffer support is not going away.
Any more questions? No. Thank you.
Thank you.